Chapter 71. One day this last Whitsuntide, at precisely 11 o'clock in the forenoon, there suddenly rode into the field of view commanded by the windows of my lodging an equestrian phenomenon. It was a fellow creature on horseback, dressed in the absurdest manner. The fellow creature wore high boots, some other and much larger fellow creature's breeches, of a slack baked doughy color and a baggy form, a blue shirt, whereof the skirt, or tail, was puffily tucked into the waistband of the said breeches, no coat, a red shoulder belt, and a demi-semi-military scarlet hat, with a feathered ornament in front, which, to the uninstructed human vision, had the appearance of a molting shuttlecock. I laid down the newspaper with which I had been occupied, and surveyed the fellow man in question with astonishment. Whether he had been sitting to any painter as a frontispiece for a new edition of Sartori Sardis, apostrophe whether the husker shell of him, as the esteemed heir to Felsdrich might put it, were founded on a jockey, on a circus, on General Garibaldi, on cheap porcelain, on a toy shop, on Guy Fawkes, on waxwork, on gold digging, on bedlam, or on all, were doubts that greatly exercised my mind. Meanwhile, my fellow man stumbled and slided, excessively against his will, on the slippery stones of my Covent Garden street, and elicited shrieks from several sympathetic females, by convulsively restraining himself from pitching over his horse's head. In the very crisis of these evolutions, and indeed at the trying moment, when his charger's tail was in a tobacconist's shop, and his head anywhere about town, this cavalier was joined by two similar portents, who, likewise stumbling and sliding, caused him to stumble, and slide the more distressingly. At length this Gulpinian triumvirate effected a halt, and, looking northward, waved their three right hands as commanding unseen troops, to up, guards, and at them. Apostrophe hereupon a brazen band burst forth, which caused them to be instantly bolted with to some remote spot of earth in the direction of the Surrey Hills. Judging from these appearances, that a procession was underway, I threw up my window, and, craning out, had the satisfaction of beholding it advancing along the streets. It was a teetotal procession, as I learned from its banners, and was long enough to consume 20 minutes in passing. There were a great number of children in it, some of them so very young in their mother's arms, as to be in the act of practically exemplifying their abstinence from fermented liquors, and attachment to an unintoxicating drink, while the procession defiled. The display was, on the whole, pleasant to see, as any good-humored holiday assemblage of clean, cheerful, and well-conducted people should be. It was bright with ribbons, tinsel, and shoulder belts, and abounded in flowers, as if those latter trophies had come up in profusion under much watering. The day being breezy, the insubordination of the large banners was very reprehensible. Each of these being borne aloft on two poles, and stayed with some half dozen lines, was carried, as polite books in the last century used to be written, by various hands, apostrophe and the anxiety expressed in the upturned faces of those officers, something between the anxiety attendant on the balancing art, and that inseparable from the pastime of kite flying, with a touch of the angler's quality in landing his scaly prey, much impressed me. Suddenly, too, a banner would shiver in the wind, and go about in the most inconvenient manner. This always happened oftenest with such gorgeous standards as those representing a gentleman in black, corpulent with tea and water, in the laudable act of summarily reforming a family, feeble and pinched with beer. The gentleman in black distended by wind, would then conduct himself with the most unbecoming levity, while the beery family, growing beerier, would frantically try to tear themselves away from his ministration. Some of the inscriptions accompanying the banners were of a highly determined character, as "We never, never will give up the temperance cause," apostrophe with similar sound resolutions rather suggestive to the profane mind of Mrs. Micawber's "I never will desert Mr. Micawber," apostrophe and of Mr. Micawber's retort, "Really, my dear, I am not aware that you were ever required by any human being to do anything of the sort." Apostrophe, at intervals, a gloom would fall on the passing members of the procession, for which I was at first unable to account. But this I discovered, after a little observation, to be occasioned by the coming on of the executioners, the terrible official beings who were to make the speeches by and by, who were distributed in open carriages at various points of the cavalcade. A dark cloud and a sensation of dampness, as from many wet blankets, invariably preceded the rolling on of the dreadful cars containing these headsmen, and I noticed that the wretched people who closely followed them, and who were in a manner forced to contemplate their folded arms, complacent countenances, and threatening lips, were more overshadowed by the cloud and damp than those in front. Indeed, I perceived in some of these so moody an implacability towards the magnates of the scaffold, and so plain a desire to tear them limb from limb, that I would respectfully suggest to the managers the expediency of conveying the executioners to the scene of their dismal labors by unfrequented ways, and in closely tilted carts, next Whitsuntide. The procession was composed of a series of smaller processions, which had come together, each from its own metropolitan district. An infusion of allegory became perceptible when patriotic Peckham advanced. So I judged, from the circumstance of Peckham's unfurling a silken banner that fanned heaven and earth with the words, "The Peckham Lifeboat." Apostrophe no boat being in attendance, though life, in the likeness of a gallant, gallant crew, apostrophe in nautical uniform, followed the flag, I was led to meditate on the fact that Peckham is described by geographers as an inland settlement, with no larger or nearer shore line than the towing path of the Surrey Canal, on which stormy station I had been given to understand no lifeboat exists. Thus I deduced an allegorical meaning, and came to the conclusion that if patriotic Peckham picked a peck of pickled poetry, this was the peck of pickled poetry which patriotic Peckham picked. I have observed that the aggregate procession was on the whole pleasant to see. I made use of that qualified expression with a direct meaning, which I will now explain. It involves the title of this paper, and a little fair trying of teetotalism by its own tests. There were many people on foot, and many people in vehicles of various kinds. The former were pleasant to see, and the latter were not pleasant to see, for the reason that I never, on any occasion, or under any circumstances, have beheld heavier overloading of horses than in this public show. Unless the imposition of a great van laden with from 10 to 20 people on a single horse be a moderate tasking of the poor creature, then the temperate use of horses was immoderate and cruel. From the smallest and lightest horse to the largest and heaviest, there were many instances in which the beast of burden was so shamefully overladen that the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals have frequently interposed in less gross cases. Now, I have always held that there may be, and that there unquestionably is, such a thing as use without abuse, and that therefore the total abolitionists are irrational and wrong-headed. But the procession completely converted me. For so large a number of the people using draft horses in it were so clearly unable to use them without abusing them, that I perceived total abstinence from horseflesh to be the only remedy of which the case admitted. As it is all one to teetotalers, whether you take half a pint of beer or half a gallon, so it was all one here, whether the beast of burden were a pony or a cart horse. Indeed, my case had the special strength that the half-pint quadruped underwent as much suffering as the half-gallon quadruped. Moral: total abstinence from horseflesh through the whole length and breadth of the scale. This pledge will be in course of administration to all teetotal processionists, not pedestrians, at the publishing office of All the Year Round, apostrophe on the first day of April, 1870. Observe a point for consideration. This procession comprised many persons in their gigs, broughams, tax carts, barriches, chaises, and whatnot, who were merciful to the dumb beasts that drew them, and did not overcharge their strength. What is to be done with those unoffending persons? I will not run amok, and vilify and defame them, as teetotal tracts and platforms would most assuredly do, if the question were one of drinking instead of driving. I merely ask what is to be done with them. The reply admits of no dispute whatever. Manifestly, in strict accordance with teetotal doctrines, they must come into, and take the total abstinence from horseflesh pledge. It is not pretended, that those members of the procession misused certain auxiliaries which in most countries, and all ages have been bestowed upon man for his use, but it is undeniable, that other members of the procession did. Teetotal mathematics demonstrate, that the less includes the greater, that the guilty include the innocent, the blind the seeing, the deaf the hearing, the dumb the speaking, the drunken the sober. If any of the moderate users of draft cattle in question should deem that there is any gentle violence done to their reason by these elements of logic, they are invited to come out of the procession next Whitsuntide, and look at it from my window. Asterisk, 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 end of the Project Gutenberg ebook, The Uncommercial Traveler, asterisk, 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 this file should be named UNCTR10. TXT or UNCTR10. Zip corrected editions of our ebooks, get a new number, UNCTR11. TXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, UNCTR10A TXT. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the U.S., unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our ebooks 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg ebooks is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people started our websites at http Gutenberg net or http promo net page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Dot, those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.biblio.org/gutenbergetext04ftp ftp biblio.org/pubdocs/gutenberg-text04/etext03020100998979697965949392921 or 90. Just search by the first five letters of the file name you want, as it appears in our newsletters. Information about Project Gutenberg, one page. We produce about $2 million for each hour we work. The time it takes us, a rather conservative estimate, is 50 hours to get any ebook selected, entered, proofread, edited, copyright searched and analyzed, the copyright letters written, etc. Our projected audience is 100 million readers. If the value per text is nominally estimated at $1, then we produce $2 million per hour in 2002 as we release over 100 new text files per month. 1240 more ebooks in 2001 for a total of 4,000 plus we are already on our way to trying for 2,000 more ebooks in 2002. If they reach just 1-2% of the world's population, then the total will reach over half a trillion ebooks given away by year's end. The goal of Project Gutenberg is to give away 1 trillion ebooks. This is 10,000 titles each to 100 million readers, which is only about 4% of the present number of computer users. Here is the briefest record of our progress. Asterisk means estimated, colon, ebooks year month, 1-1971, July 10, 1991, January 100, 1994, January 1000, 1997, August 1500, 1998, October 2000, 1999, December 2500, 2000, December 3000, 2001, November 4000, 2001, October, November 6000, 2002, DECEMBER asterisk 9000, 2003, NOVEMBER asterisk 10000, 2004, JANUARY asterisk, the project. Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been created to secure a future for Project Gutenberg into the next millennium. We need your donations more than ever. As of February 2002, contributions are being solicited from people and organizations in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. We have filed in all 50 states now, but these are the only ones that have responded. As the requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. Please feel free to ask to check the status of your state. In answer to various questions we have received on this, we are constantly working on finishing the paperwork to legally request donations in all 50 states. If your state is not listed, and you would like to know if we have added it since the list you have, just ask. While we cannot solicit donations from people in states where we are not yet registered, we know of no prohibition against accepting donations from donors in these states who approach us with an offer to donate. International donations are accepted, but we don't know anything about how to make them tax deductible, or even if they can be made deductible, and don't have the staff to handle it, even if there are ways. Donations by check or money order may be sent to Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, 809 North 1500 West Salt Lake City, Utah 84116. Contact us if you want to arrange for a wire transfer or payment method other than by check or money order. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been approved by the U.S. Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 organization with AIN Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.